Well, some years ago, The New Yorker ran a cartoon I particularly loved, and it's a wonderful lampoon of the loopy ideology of inclusivity, which has characterized now so many of the Christian churches. It showed a minister addressing a very attentive congregation in a neat and tidy church. And the minister said, like he's just finished his sermon, he goes, "Now, in accord with our policy of equal time, I'd like to give our guest speaker an opportunity to express his point of view." And then you see right next to seated and dressed perfectly and tapping his pages on his knee is the devil. So there's, you know, the commitment to inclusivity has become so great that Christians will listen even to the devil preach. Well, I was put in that cartoon when I read this astonishing sermon that was delivered by Catherine Jeffert Shorey, who is the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church of America. So we're not talking about a low-level figure. This is a very, you know, weighty figure within the Christian world. She's the head of the Episcopal Church in America. She gave a sermon in Curacao, Venezuela, on the issue of what else? Diversity. She talked about how beautiful the country was and all the diversity and so forth. Nevertheless, she laments that we have a very hard time accepting things that are different and so on. Well, if you make the right distinctions between what's, you know, intrinsically bad and what's just different or unusual, you can make her point that, sure, there are a lot of good things that are unusual that we should be open to. Fine. But she, in fact, moved in this astonishing direction as she explicated this point. She was commenting on Acts chapter 16, the story of Paul arriving in Philippi, and he's accosted by this young girl who is possessed by a dark spirit, who has given her the spirit of divination. And she's being employed, or really enslaved and used, by these nefarious people that use her to make money. So she's a young woman in a pretty bad situation, demon-possessed, and now being manipulated by abusive people. And she shouts things out to Paul and follows him around. Finally, Paul's had enough, and in the name of Jesus Christ, he exorcises her, and the evil spirit leaves her. Now, up until last month, I would say the entire Christian interpretive tradition read that as a story of liberation. Paul liberating this young girl from this terrible enslavement, both to dark powers and to human manipulation. But not a Bishop Jeffert Shorey, who read it instead as a story of Paul's deep intolerance. And I just want to read a little bit of her interpretation here. She says, "Paul is annoyed, perhaps, for being put in his place, and he responds by depriving her of her gift of spiritual awareness. Paul can't abide something he won't see as beautiful or holy, so he tries to destroy it." Well, here's the problem. The Bible tells us it's not beautiful or holy, it's the devil, and Paul is delivering her from it. But the bishop here reads it as a story of Paul's sort of patriarchal, arrogant intolerance of difference. That a Christian bishop would read that story that way simply beggars belief. But then it actually gets more bizarre as she goes on, because in the story in Acts, once this girl's sort of handlers, her enslavers, discover what Paul has done, they're angry with Paul because it's going to cost them money, right? So they stir up opposition to Paul, and there's a riot in the city, and Paul's thrown into prison. So there's a famous scene where Paul's in prison in Philippi. It's because of this act of compassion on his part that he delivered this young girl. The bishop reads it in an entirely different way, and again, it beggars belief, but here's what she says. That, getting thrown in prison, is pretty much where he put himself by his own refusal to recognize that she too, the little girl, shares in God's nature just as much as he does, maybe more so. In other words, she's kind of rejoicing that some first century Philippian version of the liberal thought police was careful enough to throw Paul in prison for his deep act of patriarchal intolerance. And then she goes on, that night in prison, Paul, we hear, you know, reaches out to his jailer, and there was, you know, the earthquake and all this business, but Paul reaches out to the jailer in compassion and brings him actually to Christian faith. Well, the bishop reads that as Paul finally coming to his senses, dropping his patriarchal hang-ups, and rediscovering compassion because he had forgotten about God in the early episode. Wouldn't it be a lot clearer to say, Paul, who had never forgotten about God, delivered the young girl by exorcising her, and delivers the jailer by giving him the Christian faith? In other words, it's not Paul passing from patriarchy to compassion. It's the consistently compassionate Paul delivering people in different types of enslavement. I would suggest that's a much cleaner way and clearer way to read the story. Now, here's what's at the heart of this matter, the hinge of it, is this typical confusion we have today between love, which is a great gospel value, and toleration and inclusion, which are the great values today. Love, as I've often said, is to will the good of the other. That's what love means. That's the gospel, the Bible value. It means to want the good of the other and then do something about it. Paul is consistently showing love in this story by willing the good of the other. In the first case, delivering the girl, excluding the evil spirit, he shows love toward the jailer by bringing him the Christian faith. What's happened today, though, is love is not the real value. The value is toleration and inclusion. See, but real love means you're not going to tolerate lots of things. Real love means you sometimes have to exclude certain things. What's happened is a dangerous conflation of toleration and inclusion with love. Now, how dangerous is it? I suggest read this sermon, because you might begin to see the devil himself as something beautiful and holy.